discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God does not change. And that is the life that we have received. It says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything He is, that is why He told Abraham, He said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave Himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God Himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified in you.
Beautiful. So I'm sharing on comfort. It's a comfort conference, isn't it? So I'm sharing on comfort. And the verses, I believe, where this particular phrase is taken from is in John chapter 11. Isn't it? From verse 38. And I just want to take us through and share something very... What I'm going to share is one of the most important things you may have to know as a child of God. Okay? And I pray for the spirit of revelation for you, that God opens your eyes to see what God is going to tell you tonight. Okay? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, come into the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. We know this story concerning how Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus had died, 4 days prior to this particular time. And Jesus comes on the scene, and he notices that there's a stone rolled over the cave. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, smelling. You can't roll it away. For he has been dead 4 days. Next verse. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? You believe, you only see the glory of God when you believe. When you don't believe, you don't see the glory of God. So decide to be a believing believer. There are many unbelieving believers. Yes. Jesus said, yes. Next verse, verse 41. Then they took away the stone. Jesus said, to roll away the stone. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Next verse. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Next verse. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus spoke as though he was calling someone who was alive in another room. Shouted, Lazarus, come forth. Next verse. A great miracle was done. The guy had been dead for 4 days. 4 days gone. Jesus spoke and the guy came back to life. This is one of the greatest miracles of Jesus, if not the greatest. Yes. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with great clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Jesus said, come forth, and he came forth. He came back to life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to teach these verses in an allegorical way. Do you understand? Allegory. Sometimes something is happening in the Bible, but then it's we know what the story is about. We know that the story is about Lazarus being brought back to life. But in allegory or in typology, there's something more that was happening. And I want to try and bring your minds to that particular thing. Can I do that this evening? It's one of the most beautiful allegories of the Bible. And I want to take you through one by one. So point number one. We see Jesus, right? Jesus, we see Jesus, we see Lazarus, we see the stone. So let's pick Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus, so my point number one is that Jesus is the revelation of God's grace. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus is the revelation of God's grace? Jesus is the grace of God appearing to men. If you read in John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him were all things made. Without him was nothing made than that which is made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Then when you jump to verse 14, John 1, 14, the Bible says that, and the Word became flesh. The Word was made flesh. The Word made is the same as became. It means that Jesus was not existing as Jesus in eternity. He was existing as the Word. He's God the Word. Yes, God the Word. The Word became, the Word put on flesh on a certain day. And on that day, that Word was called by the name Jesus, Savior. Are you seeing it? So Jesus is not, there was no Jesus in heaven. There was no one called Jesus in heaven when Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 was happening. There was the Word. And the Word one day became flesh and was given a name, Jesus. Yes. Do you see? It says, and the Word became, or the Word was made flesh, put on the flesh, the Word of God put on flesh one day, and dwelt amongst us, because he had become a human being. Then it says, and we beheld his glory. We beheld the glory of the Word, which is Jesus. That is the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace. Jesus is full of grace and truth. Jesus is the expression of the grace of God. That's what these verses are saying. Jesus is what? He's the expression of God's grace. And he's the expression of God's truth. Do you see? He's the expression of God's truth. You can't. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. Truth outside of Christ is not truth. You can only find truth in Christ. Your life will not make meaning until you find it in Christ. Without Jesus, you are going nowhere. What is life? Eating, drinking, growing up, going to school, getting a beloved, which is very important. You need a beloved in your life, brother. Getting a beloved, marrying, having children, getting a job, growing up, giving birth, your children are growing, taking them to school, blah, blah, and then you turn 70, 80, 90, and then you die, and you are gone. Even a chicken is more important than you, because when a chicken dies, we eat it. We can enjoy chicken, but we can't enjoy you. We can enjoy cow meat. We can't enjoy you. Yes. Yes. It's like you are too useless. Like chicken is more important than you. You can what? Dust. And we have to pay to bury you. Can you imagine? And you make us what? Cry as well. Even a chicken is more important. If that is what life is all about, then it's a very big problem. Life is higher than that. Life is about finding your Savior, Jesus Christ, and knowing more about him. You know, in the Bible talks about how that he shall satisfy his beloved with long life, so that he may show him himself salvation. You see, salvation is, the Greek word is Yeshua. Joshua. Yes, Yehoshua. Salvation, Jesus' name is, the meaning of Jesus' name is salvation. Jesus is the same as Joshua. And Joshua means salvation. So he's showing you the reason for long life. Can you show me those verses? Can you help me find them and put it up? Psalm 91, verse 6, it says, with long life will I satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. The reason for long life is for you to be shown salvation. Who is salvation? Jesus Christ. The reason for long life is to get to know Jesus more and more. Yes. So long life without Jesus is nonsense. It's complete nonsense. Utter nonsense. Man without Jesus is just useless. It's very useless. Chicken is more important. Do you have goats in Kenya? You have goats. Goats are more important. Do you eat goats? Hey, it's very nice. Do you have chichinga? Do you know chichinga? What? Kebab. You have kebab here. Yeah. Do they use goats for it sometimes? Wow. We also have that in Ghana. It's very nice. What's it called here? Bushikaki. What? I like the name. Long life is for the purpose of getting to know Jesus. So why should you want to live long? Because you want to have more revelations of Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is everything, I tell you. He's everything. And Jesus is equal to grace. Jesus is the revelation of God's grace and the revelation of God's truth. Everything that Jesus did when he came on earth was to show the grace of God to humanity. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. Favor you don't deserve. Favor you've not done anything for. What you don't deserve. What you don't deserve. What you don't merit. Isn't it? All the people Jesus healed did not merit it. They didn't deserve it. Not even one. Do you remember the 10 lepers? What did they do to get their healing? Nothing. 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 Blind Bartimaeus. Nothing. The woman with the issue of blood. Nothing. Lazarus. Nothing. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? Jesus is the revelation of God's grace. How good God is. How loving God is. And how much God likes human beings. That's Jesus. Jesus is equal to grace. So let me show you some more. Please take your seat so that if you stand up too much, you'll fly. Before long, you are not in the church anymore. He says, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. He was full of the grace of God. He's the expression of God's grace. Full of grace and full of truth. Look at verse 15. Go to 16 so we can just read quickly. 16 to 17. He says, and of his fullness. What was his fullness? He was full of what? Grace. He says, of the grace that he was full of, we have all received. All of us have received grace for grace. The word for is anti. That's a Greek word, anti. Have you heard of antichrist before? Antichrist means in place of Christ or against Christ. So you can translate it as against Christ or in place of Christ. Okay, so in these verses, the word anti is translated in place of. So Jesus is the fullness. Go back, please, verse 16. Jesus' fullness, have all of us received grace. Grace in place of grace. So dealing with Jesus or being with Jesus is receiving grace upon grace upon grace upon, like waves of the sea. Waves of the sea. I mean, Jesus in your life, that's what you are supposed to expect. That's what you should expect. Grace in place of grace. Just like the waves of the sea will come. You see, it will come and you think that that's it. Another one is following. A greater one is following. More are coming. Nicer things are coming. So a child of God should expect only good things. A child of God should expect only beautiful things. Do you know why I know that your life is going to be beautiful? Do you want to know why I know? Because Jesus is in your life. When you got born again, what did you do? You received Christ into your heart. Is that not what you did? Because you received Christ into your heart, you have received the fullness of his grace. Grace in place of grace. So next year, your life is going to be beautiful than it is now. Amen. That is one of the secrets I have for church growth. I expect growth only, nothing else. So I make plans for growth only. I don't have any other plan. For that the church will reduce or our finances will reduce or there's going to be a problem. I don't have that. Grace upon grace. Every year, every month, grace. Unmerited. You see, and grace is what? So it means that it doesn't depend on my fasting. You are surprised. Doesn't depend on my fasting. My fasting is very important. But I fast for different reasons. My prayer is very important, but I pray for different reasons. But Jesus in my life is my assurance of glory only. Do you have Jesus? Do you have Jesus? You are assured of beauty. You are assured of healing. You are assured of blessings. You are assured of prosperity. You are assured of goodness. That is who he is. This Jesus that we have in our lives was full of grace, full of goodness. He brought goodness to the people. Yes. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
With the Holy Ghost and with power.
Yes.
he went about doing good. I can expect good in my life because that Jesus who went about is now in me. And it's in me, going about in me, bringing me into goodness, ensuring that my feet come into goodness all the days of my life. I will never go down in my life. I'll keep going higher and higher and higher and higher. Every single day my life gets better. Every single day my health gets better. Yes. I can never go down. What? That is why the church, this church has not gone down. It's because of Jesus. It's because Jesus is here. And it's because Jesus is preached. Jesus is preached. That is why it is working. You preach any other thing, you are going to be in trouble. Preach Jesus. Paul said, I decided to know nothing amongst you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. I chose not to know anything amongst you, apart from Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus and him crucified. His crucifixion was his greatest work. His greatest expression of grace. And that's what I want to preach to you about. Hallelujah. Oh, I love Jesus. How many of you love Jesus? I have Jesus in my life, I'll never fail. Hallelujah. Grace for grace. Grace in place of grace. Yes, grace in place of grace. More grace every day. More unmerited. Always remember the definition of grace, unmerited. And it's all over in the scriptures. Let me show them to you. Look at Romans chapter 4. Let's read from verse 2. Let's read from verse 1. From verse 1 is fine. Romans chapter 4 from verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? Let's read the lighter version so I can understand. Do you have BB, Bible in Basic English, or Easy English? Easy English can also work. I know Pastor likes Easy English. I'm trying to be like him. Okay. Abraham was the ancestor of all of us who are Jews. Think about what he discovered. Abraham discovered something. And he says he wants you to think about what Abraham discovered. What did Abraham discover? Next verse. God did not accept Abraham as right with him because Abraham had done good things. This is what Abraham discovered. I'm going back to Ghana. I don't think you are interested in that. I almost went back. I should be here. Okay.
This is our Ghana.
This is our Ghana. Beautiful. I see what I'm talking about. God did not accept Abraham as right with him because Abraham had done good things. How many of us could stand before God because of our good things? Look at how bad you have been. You would think that sin is only in some places. It's everywhere. Ask your nearest neighbor, Charlie, how are you? How far? What is your latest wrong? What is your latest sin? How can you think that God accepts you as his child based on what you are doing? What could you? You're a very bad guy. You're a foolish bad boy. On your way with speed into foolishness, to hell. I tell you, what you do, if God was accepting you based on what you do. Hey, my sister.
The wrong bed. You've come from the wrong bed.
You've come
from fornicating.
You've come from the wrong belt. The wrong bed. What? I wanted to say a certain story, but I won't say it. There was one chorister in a certain church. Charlie, it was wild. I mean, just when she finished having the session, she'll just wear her panty and then come. And there's sperms inside the panty and she'll be singing. I tell you. Yeah, if God was accepting us based on what we do, that girl should have been slapped to death. My God. Yes. Thunder. God does not accept us based. That's what Abraham says. He says, God did not accept Abraham as right with him because Abraham had done good things. If God had done that, then Abraham would have been able to boast about himself. But he could not boast to God. Why? Next verse. Remember what the Bible tells us. It says, Abraham believed God. All he did was to what? Believe God. He believed God. As a result, God accepted Abraham as right with him. That's grace. Next verse. Then he starts talking about, he says, when a person works to get money, it is right for him to receive his money, isn't it?
Yes.
That money is not a gift. It is what that person ought to receive as a result of his work. That's merit. That's what you deserve. But the grace of God does not work like that. So he says, next verse. But someone may believe in God. He does not work to cause God to accept him. God accepts that person because of their faith. God says that person who gave, God says that people who have turned away from him are right. Am I reading right? God says that people who have turned away from him are right with him if they trust him. That is God's gift to them. The King James says, God justifies the ungodly. God specializes in making righteous those who are not correct. If you feel you are not correct, you are the reason why Jesus came. Jesus came to come and make you right with him.
People like me.
I don't know about me. I don't feel I'm correct. I don't feel I'm not correct. I don't know about you. We are in the same boat. Yes, he justifies. That's a King James. Yes. Do you have King James? But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You see, Jesus is the one who justifies the ungodly. God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Jesus died for us when we were of no use whatsoever to him. Why do you think that now that you have received him, you need to live your life based on some things, on good things, in order to please him, in order for you to have healing, in order for you to have prosperity, in order for you to have all the things that we know you ought to have? I don't know if you get it. You came in by his work. That's grace. Grace is equal to God's work. You came in by his work. Not your work. All you did was to receive what he has done. You believed in what he did. I believe that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. I believe that he washed my sins washed me from my sins in his own blood. That's what you did. You believed. That's it. How you came into Christ is how you must walk in him. Colossians chapter 2 verse 6. Look at Colossians 2 6. Colossians 2:6. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How did you receive him? You received him by his grace through your faith. Do you see? You believed in what he has done. You believe in what he did in Jesus Christ. What he accomplished in Christ. That's what you believed in. And you confessed it for yourself. And you got born again. That's how you continue a Christian life. You believe what Jesus has accomplished for you in his death. You speak it for yourself. And you continue to live. That's how we live. That's how Christianity is supposed to be. Am I helping you? So Jesus is the expression of God. Do you understand that now? So whenever you think about Jesus, when you're reading the Gospels, always recognize the grace of God. Jesus is the grace of God. Every move of his was the grace of God. Every move of his was the grace of God. Every healing was the grace. That's the expression of God's grace. The Bible says that he healed them all. That's the grace of God. God wants his people to be well. And it's not based on what they do or don't do. Do you think Bishop Dark's evangelistic crusades and the healings that happen there is based on the people, what the people have done, whether they've lived right or they have not lived right? Have you seen the crusades before? You just praise. You are born again, he prays for you. Even demon-possessed people are delivered. How can it be based on their marriage? It's not based on what they do or they don't do. It's based on what Jesus did on the cross. What Jesus did is great, and we have to believe that it's great. Do you see? So what happened at Lazarus' tomb is a description of the grace of God and what it accomplished. We see Jesus, who is the grace of God, manifest in flesh, coming to the tomb. And we see Lazarus, the second person we see, the second allegory we see is Lazarus, who is the representation of humanity. So second big point, Lazarus, Brother Lazi. Oh, grace is God at work. Grace is what?
Yes.
It's either grace or it's work. It's either you are using your works or you are using the grace of God. Let me show you one last verse about that one. Romans chapter 11 verse 6. Romans 11 verse 6. Yes. I say that. Romans 11 verse 6 says, and if by grace, if it is by grace, then it is no more of works. Have you seen it? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So it's either you are moving along the lines of grace or you are moving along the lines of work. If it's work, then it's not grace. If it is grace, then it is not work. It's either it's grace or work. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Look at Ephesians 2, 8. It says, for by grace are you saved. Our salvation is by grace through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Grace is God's part. Grace is what God did in Christ. Grace is God. You couldn't have manufactured your salvation. You couldn't. Grace is what God did. What God did in his son. Punishing his son for your wrongs. Punishing his son for the debt that you owed. The debt of sin that you... I'm coming to explain all that to you. And then, yes. And then you receiving by faith what he has done. Even our faith is the faith of Jesus Christ. Even the faith we have, we can't claim that it is from us. Yes. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. That's one very powerful scripture. He's the author. He's the source of our faith. And the faith we have is even his faith. Galatians chapter 2 verse 16. It's all over in the Bible. Look at Galatians 2:16. Do you like my message or you don't like it? He says, knowing that a man is not justified. The word justified is declared not guilty or to be declared righteous. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Have you seen it? He says, a man is not justified. A man is not made right with God. A man is not made righteous before God or accepted before God. Or a man is not made a friend of God, a child of God, acceptable to God based on the works of the law, the doings of the law. But by the faith of Jesus Christ. A man is made righteous by the faith of Jesus. Not by his faith. Oh. Also, you are seeing it? By the faith of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus' faith that justified you. Yes. So verse 20. Okay, even the same verse says, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even so we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. We've also believed that we might be justified or declared not guilty by the faith of Christ. Not by our faith, by the faith of Christ. And not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified or declared right. Yes, but you can't. I'm going to come back to that one. Now, go to verse 20. Same book, same chapter. You see what I'm talking about. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And he says, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of who?
The Son of God.
So the faith you have is the faith of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what that faith can do? That same faith that Jesus to heal the sick. Jesus used to heal the sick. It's the same faith you have. So when I lay hands on someone to pray for the person, I don't have it in my mind. Will the person be healed? Will the person not be healed? That's looking at myself. Looking at my faith. Who am I? Someone in our country said, whom am I? Whom am I? Who are you? What can your faith do? But if you remember that the faith you are praying with is the faith of Jesus Christ. Not your faith. It is his faith. You are sure to get your results. Yes. You are sure to get your results. It's one of the easiest ways to have miracles, signs, and wonders happening around you. My faith is the faith of Jesus Christ. When I stretch my hands, it's Jesus' hands that are stretched. When I look at that sick person, Jesus' eyes are looking at that sick person. Your love group will change if you remember that it is not your faith, it is Jesus' faith that you are working by. Yes, Jesus' faith. Not my faith, Jesus' faith. Jesus' faith. Jesus' faith. It has nothing to do with you. So you may not have prayed much. Have you noticed that some of the miracles that happen around you happen when you have not prayed much? Have you noticed it? Or if not, when you feel you are really prepared and you feel you have really prayed, you feel you have really fasted, and then you come, ha! Shalabaya! I see in the spirit. Eyabalaba! The people will be standing there looking at you. There's power here. Where is it? We can't see the power. But when it's like, when you feel like...
You've eaten a lot, maybe. Maybe you've eaten a lot.
You've eaten. You didn't really fast much. You didn't really... You've not even read much. Hey! That is when your prayers, like when you pray, the person is healed. Because you have removed yourself. You are not depending on yourself. Not of works. Paul says it in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter, is it chapter 3 or chapter 2? Chapter 3. The one who works miracles amongst you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? 3:5. Galatians 3:5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you. The one who works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What is the answer? By the hearing of faith. It's not because he's a special person.
No.
It's because of the hearing of faith, which is grace. It's because of the grace of God. Can you claim that this church has grown because you have fasted a lot?
No.
I can't claim to say that our church has grown, is big, is whatever, because I'm a very wild guy. Some have fasted more than I have. They prayed more than I have.
They live in the mountain.
Live in the mountain.
They have not gone. I've never gone.
Never gone. So Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Not because I fasted or I did this or I did that. No. I might say we shouldn't fast. I've not said we shouldn't fast. We'll fast. We'll pray. We'll do all the things we are supposed to do.
That has its place.
That has its place. But that is not the reason why things are working in my life. I trust in Jesus Christ and what he did for me. Yes. My fasting and prayer is to get to know what he did for me. The more I know what he did for me, the more effective I can become. I see it. God is changing your life, I tell you. Yes, God is changing your life. Jesus is becoming more real to you. Jesus must be the reason for everything in your life. Jesus must be the reason why your family is working. Not your prayer. You believe in your prayer more than you believe in Jesus Christ. So you feel that your prayer is what sustains everything. Who told you? When Jesus is the one who is interceding for you. Jesus is our great intercessor. He's our great intercessor. He intercedes for us. It's not your intercessor. Because you've not prayed much. If you are the one holding your family with your prayer, then you should be praying from morning to from dawn to dusk. Yeah. Yeah. Because we are coming from different types of families. Yeah. Different problems. Hey,
from two generation witch doctors, some families.
How are you going to solve that problem of two generation witch doctors? What are you going to do? You don't even know what your great grandfather did. You don't know. You have functioned by grace, brother. Start at no.
Your father was a slave trader.
Many cases. Many cases. You should rather be trusting in what Jesus, believing in Jesus and what he has done, and relying on him and his provision and what he's doing, rather than your effort. Your effort will not do much. Yes. It won't do much. Not by works. By grace are you saved through faith. Not by works. Go back to that place. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. Next verse 9. Verse 9, please. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not of works. So you can't boast. I can't say what the video is. I can't say that I am the one. That's why I said, let us pray. When I do the mic, what did I say? Let us pray. I won't say, yeah, you know, but that's me. Check me out. Do you know what? Hey, that's pride. I've lost everything. If I do that, I'm dead. But if I recognize that it is him, I will build my church. Jesus said, I will build my church. He's the builder. I'm just an assistant. I'm a foreman. Let's give him his place in our lives. Jesus sends me to tell you that he wants to have his place in your life. Yes. He wants to have his place in your life. Yes. You'll be more fruitful. You'll have more peace. And you'll be happier if you remember that he is a reason for everything in your life. You'll keep saying thank you every day. You'll say thank you a lot. Thank you, Lord. Whatever is in my life is because of you. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my children. I thank God for my school. I thank God. I didn't know that you were working all these things out to bring me here. I didn't know. Do you see? You thank him because it is his work. It is what he is doing and what he has done. Yes. Hallelujah. Can we talk about Lazarus now?
Yeah.
Just talk about Lazarus. Grace. Grace is working. I am what I am by the grace of God. Have you done bad things before? Ask me, have you done bad things before? You know, someone did what you did. Someone did what you did and got a very stiff punishment. Yes. Someone did the abortion and they didn't come back. You did the abortion and you're sitting here smiling. I don't know. You did it last month. Last month. Not far. Not 10 years ago. Just last month. And you are here. It's not the first one. There was a lady who had had 6 abortions already. You know, and she came. We spoke to her, prayed for her. She became correct. And then she said she was there. And then the devil started talking to her that you are not going to have a child again. So she was battling with that thought. And she didn't tell anyone. She didn't tell her pastors. So she decided that she's going to try and see if she can get pregnant again. And she tried and got pregnant. Can you imagine? She tried and got pregnant and removed that one too. Yes, she removed that one too. 7. But it's like God is so merciful. God is so. Can you imagine? She's married now. She has had a baby. Can you imagine? God is rich in mercy. That's God. Jesus is the expression of the mercy of God. If God was going to punish us for what we have done, no man can stand. No woman can stand. Yes. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we're dead in sins, has he reconciled us, brought us back to life. Brothers and sisters, if we go into this, we're not close. Let's continue. Lazarus. Next verse is Lazarus. Brother Lazi. So now we know Jesus is a revelation of what? The grace of God, isn't it? Grace for grace. I believe what I've told you will help you read the Gospels in a different way now. Yes. You see how good God, wow. They didn't deserve it. All those who thought they deserved it didn't get anything from God. The Pharisees thought they deserved to receive some things from God. Right? They didn't receive anything. Yes. Jesus said, I did not come. The physician has not been sent for those who are well. If you think you are well, you will not receive. Yes. Yes. It's those who are sick that you are sent for. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So tonight, maybe you are here. You feel you are the terrible, most terrible of all. You've done some very bad things. Listen, I came to tell you that Jesus loves you. And you are the reason why Jesus came. You are the reason why Jesus came. You are the reason why Jesus came. There's still hope for you. There's still mercy for you. So receive God's mercy. Receive God's grace for your life. You want to give your life to Christ? I'll give you the opportunity before the day ends. Okay? So Lazarus is a revelation of the nature and the state of man. Where was Lazarus when Jesus came to the tomb? He was inside the tomb, dead, stinking, wrapped with grave clothes, dead, stinking. His own sister said, Lord, by now he's stinking. Lazarus is a revelation of the nature and the state of man. Human beings are dead because of sin and are stinking, dead, stinking. Yeah, that's any human being you see that does not have Jesus Christ has the state of Lazarus. The state that Lazarus was in is dead and stinking. Because when you read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, God told Adam that he should not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God commanded a man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You know, the original translation says, in dying, you shall die. Because Adam, yes, in dying, you shall die. You know, Adam did not die when he partook of it. You know, right? When Adam partook of the fruit, Did he die? He didn't die physically. He didn't die physically. He lived 930 years before he died physically. So God was not describing only physical death. God was describing all the levels of death. There are three kinds of death in the Bible. There's spiritual death. Then there's physical death. Then there's eternal death. Spiritual death is separation from God. Losing out on the glory of God. For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. That was what happened to Adam. Adam lost the glory of God. That's why he noticed that he was naked. He lost the beauty. He lost the glory. He lost the covering of God. Prior to that, he didn't notice. He didn't know he was naked. Yes. He was in the glory of God. When he partook of the fruit, that glory left. And then he had to look for fig leaves. He looked for fig leaves to cover himself. That's why when Jesus came, he cursed the fig tree. The only thing Jesus cursed was the fig tree. Why? Because the fig tree is equal to the works of man. It is man's effort to be accepted before God. Yes. Adam used the fig leaves to cover himself. And God said, no, you can't use fig leaves to please me. You can't use your works to please me. So God killed an animal and used the covering, the skin of the animal, to cover Adam and his wife, Eve. Letting them know that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiving of sins. Forgiveness of sins. Blood must be shed. If blood is not shed, you don't have a premise to be accepted before God anymore. The payment for sin is equal to death. Romans 6:23. What does it say? For the wages of sin is what? Can you show it to us? Romans 6:23. Can you read it together? One to go. Wages means payment. The salary, the payment for sin is equal to death. You sin, you must die. Ezekiel 18 verse 4. All souls that live are mine, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18. Brother, show it to us. Ezekiel 18 verse 4. Verse 4. I hope you can hear my English. We all have an accent, so forgive me for my accent, okay? But I hope you can hear me loud and clear. Behold, what? All souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinned, it shall die. When you sin, what happens to you?
Die.
You die. What is sin? Sin is breaking God's law. Sin is equal to the transgression of the law. 1 John chapter 3. Verse what? Is it verse 4? 1 John 3, 4. Hey. Am I quoting too many scriptures? Look at it. It says, whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. So when God puts a law down that don't do this, Adam was told, don't eat of this tree. That was the law of God. And he ate of the tree. So what has he done? He has sinned. What is the result of sin? The payment for sin? Death. So Adam has to die. And guess what? Adam's sin is the sin of all of humanity because Adam is the federal head of human beings. Any human being living on earth traces his existence to someone called Adam. So what Adam did is what all humanity did. Don't say that if I was Adam, I wouldn't have eaten the tree. I wouldn't have eaten of the fruit. Brother, you would have eaten all the fruit. You'd have used the leaves for salad and used the wood for firewood, for bitters. You smoke the leaves. You would do what?
Make fresh juice.
Make fresh juice. You'd have eaten the stand around it. Brother. You would have done all kinds of things. What Adam did is what we all did. So Adam's sin is the sin of humanity. And it's all about in the scriptures. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. So Lazarus is a reflection of the state of man. What's the state of man? Dead and stinking. Why? Because of his transgression of God's law. All of us have transgressed God's law. Everybody. And here comes grace. Here comes grace and truth. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm coming. I'll get there. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Who is that one man?
Adam.
And death by sin. So death comes by virtue of sin. Sin is what brings death. Then he says, and so death passed upon all men. Why? For that all have sinned. All have sinned because one man has sinned. Why? All were in that one man. So verse 13 says, look at the next verse, verse 13. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. I'm going to mention this later. Next verse, verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. It says, death ruled over everyone, even though we were in there when Adam did what he did. But Adam's sin is everybody's sin. Verse 15. Okay, go to 17. I don't want us to read too much. Go to verse 17. For if by one man's offense, who is that one man? Adam. By Adam's offense, death reigned by one. Verse 19. Go to verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Who is that one man? What happened after he had disobeyed? Many. All were made sinners. All have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody. That's the state of man. That's the state of man. And for sin, you see, but man didn't accept that he was a sinner. Look at Adam. Adam is using fig leaves to cover himself. Man, since Adam's time, didn't agree with God that he was a sinner. Nobody, I mean, can you say that people don't want to describe themselves as sinners. I mean, no. I mean, I've not done what we categorize as sins. You see, I've not sinned as much as this guy. I'm a virgin. So I'm okay. But when we check your thoughts and the one who is not a virgin, it's even higher. Yours is bad. It's worse. It's wilder. World Cup level. We can't compete. And your thoughts, Jesus said, if you imagine, you have done it. Yeah, if you imagine, you have done it. So you are the one who has done it, you are the same. Man never wants to accept that he's a sinner. So God did something. God did something. God put a stone. Okay? You see, Lazarus was dead, right? And he was covered with what? A stone. That stone is equal to the law of Moses. I'm giving you allegories. I'm just showing types. Jesus is the type of God's grace. Lazarus is a type of man's state. The stone is a type of the law. It's a representation of the law. For the purpose of keeping the dead, dead. Keeping sinners. Keep them stinking. That was the purpose of the law. Yes. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Let's read from verse 5. 1 Timothy 1, 5. So the next major point you should write in your notes, if you have notes, is that the stone is equal to the revelation of the law of Moses. Okay? Paul says, now the end of all commandments is charity or love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Next verse. Then it says, from this particular command, which is love, it says, some have swept and have turned aside unto vain jangling. Next verse. Desiring to be teachers of the law. These guys who have swept the love of God are desiring to be teachers of the law. Understanding neither what they say nor what they affirm. They don't understand the law. They don't understand what it is for. They don't know what the law is. The law was not given. Brother, don't sleep. The law was not given for man to keep and for man to be qualified before God. It was not for man. It was not man's way out of death. It was to keep man dead. That was the purpose of the law. A Christian who tries to live his life according to the law of Moses will have a very big problem. It's like what he's saying about these guys. He says these guys are designed. Let's read the English that you understand. Easy English. Easy. Let's take it easy, brother. Let's read from a 6 so that we can understand it. But certain people have failed to live in that way. Which way? Go back to verse 5. I started from verse 5, remember. We need to teach people to love one another with pure thoughts. They need to be sure in their minds that they are living in a good way. They need to trust God completely. Trust God completely. Then it says, but certain people have failed to live in that way. They would rather talk about things that do not help anyone. Next verse. They want to be teachers of God's laws. They speak very strongly. We have that, and we have that in our day. I'm sure it's in this country. They speak very strongly of God's law, but they do not really understand what they are talking about. Why? Next verse. We know that God's laws are good if people use them properly. Next verse. It's too small here. We also know that God did not make those laws for people who already live in a good way. God did not make those laws for what? Read this again. He did not make what? The King James says, the King James says it well. Look at King James. King James, please. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. The law is not made for those who are righteous. It wasn't made for them. Go back to easy English. Let's take it easy. We also know that God did not make those laws for people who already live in a good way. He made them for people like this. Can you read the people like this to me? Continue. One to go. To show them what is right. People who refuse to obey any laws. People who do not want anyone to rule them. People who turn away from God. People who do bad things. People who do not respect God's holy things. People who murder. Next verse. People who have sex in the wrong way. Men who have sex with other men. People who catch other people to sell them. People who tell lies. People who do not speak the truth in court. People who do wrong things that are against God's true message. That true message is God, is the good news that comes from our great God. We praise him for it. He has chosen me to tell this good news to people. So what was the law made for? The law is made for people, sinners, not for the righteous. People who don't want to be led. Those are the people the law was made for. Now, the law is a stone because when God was writing the laws, he wrote it on stone, isn't it? It's all over in the scriptures. Can I show you some? Let's start from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 3, 7. The law is a stone, or the stone represents the law. Okay? But if the administration of death, written and engraven in stones... What's the administration of death? The law. He says, if the administration of death, written and engraven in stones, it was engraved in stones. Eh? Yeah, so the stones represent the law. Please, you get it?
Yeah.
Look at Exodus. Exodus chapter 20, I think. 24, verse 12. Exodus 24, verse 12. Look at it. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me in the mount and be there, and I'll give the tables of stone. Have you seen it? I'll give you what? The table of stone and a law and a commandment and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. So the commandment is equal to the stone. The stone is a representation of the commandment. When Moses was coming down the mountain, what was he happening? He was having two tablets of stone. The first guy to have tablets in our world. He had two tablets with things written on it. Do you have a tablet? You have a tablet. Moses had the first tablet. His was made of stone. He had two tablets. Hallelujah. So this, and his name, your name is Moses. Oh, brother, you are having a tablet. So the stone is a representation of the law, and it was used to make sin exceeding sinful, to keep sinners in the world of sin. Okay. So I want to show you the the nature of the law, the purpose of the law, the function of the law. You need to know these things so that you don't try as a Christian, because there are a lot of Christians who are trying, you know, to live by the law. You are tempting. Do you have some witnesses in the house? You are tempting. Oh, I don't do this. I don't drink. I don't do this. I don't do that. I that's why God has to bless me. That's why sometimes we'll be in church and someone, a new person will come and he'll receive his miracle. And those of us who have been around for a long time, we are not receiving much. Because in our minds, our works, we have a sense of entitlement. Like, God has to. I'm a shepherd. I've been doing all these things. God, can't you see what I'm doing? Why are you not answering my prayers, brother? Your prayers are not answered because you're a shepherd. Your prayers are answered because of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Hey. Do you like my message? So the law was given to shut death in, to shut sinners in death until the arrival of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came, he rolled away the stone. And then he called life to come out of the dead. That's the work of Christ. I don't know if you get it. What I just said is very big. I'm going to take my time and explain it small for you. Okay. Where do I start from? Can we learn about the nature of the law? Okay, number one. So you can type the nature of the law. 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 So unlike number one, the law is good. The law is what? The law is good. Romans chapter 7, verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Have you seen it? So the commandment, the law is good. Number two, the law is holy. It's right here, the same verse. Wherefore the law is holy. Have you seen it? So number one is what? The law is good. Then number two, the law is holy. Number three, the law is just or righteous. Same verse. The law is good, the law is holy, the law is just. Number four, the law is spiritual. The law is spiritual. That's in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. The law is spiritual. The nature of the law is that the law is good, it is holy, it is just, it is spiritual. The other thing is that the law was full of life. The law was full of life. That's the nature of the law. The law is full of life, not worse. The law is full of life. Acts chapter 7, verse 38. Acts 7, 38. This is he which was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai. He's talking about Moses. And with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. The word, the lively oracles is in reference to the law. That's what Moses received for them, isn't it? He says, they were lively oracles to give unto us. The word lively oracles is actually oracles impregnated with life. Yes, it's life. Oracles. Oracles means what God has spoken. Words that God has spoken that is pregnant with life. So, lively oracles means oracles that are pregnant with life. So, the law was full of life. It is good, it is holy, it is just, spiritual, it's full of life. The next major point is the weakness of the law. The weakness of the law. The law had a weakness. The law has had a weakness, and it will always have a weakness. Tell me about the law has had a weakness. And it will always have a weakness. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Look at Romans 8, 3. Sorry for quoting too many scriptures. When I grew up, I'll stop. When I turn 90, I'll stop quoting so many scriptures. But until I turn 90, you can be sure that when you invite me, I'll quote a lot of scripture. Can you read this to me? One to go. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
He says the law had a weakness. Yeah. For what the law could, there was something the law could not do. Yes. In that it was weak through the flesh. When the law touches the flesh, if you give the law of God to human beings to keep, it can't help them. That's the weakness of the law. The law cannot, it cannot be kept by flesh. It's not possible. It's not, and that is not the reason why the law was given. Remember, the law is not given to make, it was not given to the righteous. It was given to those sinners to keep them there. It's a stone to keep those who are dead in sin there. Not to help anybody to become right with God. A Christian who is trying to live up by the law is going to be in trouble. Because when the law touches your flesh, what happens? It has weakness. What's the weakness? It can't give you life. So even though the law is holy, it can't make you holy. Even though the law is full of life, it can't give you life. Even though the law is just, it can't make you righteous. It can't make you just. Even though the law is full of life, it can't give you life. Even though it's good, it can't make you good. Even though it's spiritual, it can't make you spiritual. The law cannot make anybody good, spiritual, righteous, holy, whatever. It can't. Even though it demands righteousness, demands holiness, demands all those things, it cannot. It doesn't have the power to give it to you. Even though it is demanding from you. That's the weakness of the law. So let me show you verses. Can I show you verses? Wow. So number one, it could not, under the weakness of the law, it could not give life. The law could not give life. Galatians chapter 3 verse 21. I hope you like keeping notes in your church. You need to keep notes. Or else you keep coming and going. Okay? You need to write it down. God told them, write it down so that you don't forget. When God used Moses and Aaron and Hur and Joshua to defeat the Amalekites, he told Joshua to write it down. Write this for a memorial. So you write for memorial. If you don't write, you will not remember. Okay? What I'm sharing with you, I made notes on it 13 years ago. This is 13 years ago message that I'm preaching to you. Yes. 13 years ago. 2011. My teacher sat me down and taught me this. Because I kept notes, I can give it to you too. Galatians 3:21. The law is what? It can't give life, right? The law can't give life. Can you read this to me? One to go. God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by that. Have you seen it? It says, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, it can't give life. It can't give life. Have you seen it? So even though it's full of life, it can't give life. Because when it touches human flesh, it becomes weak. Okay? The next point. That's point number two, under the weakness of the law. It can't make anyone righteous. The law can't make anyone righteous. I seen it. Yeah. But let's go one by one, okay? It could not make anyone what? Righteous. Same verse, Galatians 3:21. Is the law against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, then it says, verily righteousness should have come, should have been by the law. You get it? The law could not make anybody righteous. That's what he's saying over there too. Okay? Galatians 3:11. Go back to verse 11. Can you read it to me? One to go. But that no man is justified or no man is made righteous. The word justified, what is it? Justified is equal to made righteous or made right with God. Okay, that's what it means. Justification is equal to righteousness, being declared not guilty or being declared righteous. Please, you get it? So it says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. You can't. You can't be justified by the law. Romans chapter 3 verse 20. Romans 3 20. Romans 3 20. Can you read it to me? One to go. There shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. There shall no flesh can be justified before God. Let's read easy English so that you can get it. Easy English, please. One to go. Is that clear enough? Nobody can become right with God because they obey that. NLT. Do you have NLT? Oh, okay. Beautiful. NLT. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. It's to show your sin. Not to justify you at all. So it can't make you righteous. That's the weakness of the law. Okay? The next point and the weakness of the law is that it ministers death. The law ministers death. It gives death. Instead of giving life, it rather gives death. It has life, but it gives death. It's a big shock. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3, 6 and 7. So let's read it in NLT. To be ministers of his new covenant. This is a covenant not written of. The old written covenant ends in death, but the new, the Spirit gives life. Next verse. The old way in stone led to death. The point is made. It led to what? Death. So it ministers death. It can't minister life. Then the next point is that it ministers condemnation. It condemns you. Yeah, the law condemns you. Tells you you're a very bad boy. So you can't even keep God's laws. You're a very bad girl. You can't even keep God's laws. See your life. That's the law. That's the law. When you understand the law, like I'm teaching you, you will not play with it. You will not try to mark yourself based on. And mind you, it was not only 10 commandments. It was 613. Do you know? It was 613 laws. There were oral laws. There were ceremonial laws. There were what? Judgment laws. This one. So many. Plenty. 613. How can you keep all of them? And the Bible says that when you fail in one, you have failed in all. James chapter 2 verse 10. James 2:10. You fail in one. You keep 612. And you fail one. You have failed in all the 613. One to go, read it to me. For the person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. Yes. 630. I don't know how you are going to survive. How are you going to survive? Even your clothes has broken the law. Because there's a law. Yes, there's a law that says that. That's in Deuteronomy. It says that you should not wear cotton and linen together. So all of us have broken the law as far as that particular one is concerned. Yes.
They have.
If you are in your menses, we shouldn't touch you. If we touch you, and if we have any, you're seated to somebody, you are broken the law. You are in your menses, someone is sitting, or you touch somebody. That's it. You should be staying unclean. As we are unclean, 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 unclean. That's what you should be saying. That's what you should be saying. Eh? When you're writing God's name, you write one, you bath. You write Yod, He, Vav, He. And Jehovah, that's God's name, Jehovah. YHVH. The Hebrew is Yod, He, Vav, He. Okay, when you write one, it's called the sacred tetragrammaton. Hey, it's wild though. Yes, the sacred tetragrammaton. Yes, I am. That's the great I am. It's a holy name. So before you mention it, or before you write, if you're writing a letter and they are going to write seven I am in your letter. When you write the first letter, that's the J, Yud, you have to go and take a shower and then come and write the next one, which is H, Hey. Then you take another shower, come and write the V. You take another shower and then come and take the next H. That's the first one that you are going to write seven. I don't know how many baths you are going to take. By the time you are done, you would have become Bathsheba. You have become Bathsheba. You can't. It's not possible. You see, it's not possible. It's not possible. Because the law was not given for human beings. That's what you should understand. The law was not given for human beings to obey. It was given to keep them to keep them in disobedience until Jesus comes. Until the arrival of Jesus on the spot.
To terminate it.
Oh Lord, thank you. Yes, and Jesus came to terminate it. Galatians chapter 2. Yes. Let me show it to you. Galatians chapter 2. Yeah, so we should be thanking Jesus. Let's read from verse. Galatians chapter, what did I say? Chapter 3, verse 19. Let's read. It's in NLT. Yes. Translate what? Translate the scripture. Beautiful. I'm taking all these things to my country. So I'm learning them one by one. Can we read it together? I want you to see it for yourself, okay? One to go. Why then was the law given? It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. That's the why it was given. To reveal your sins. So the next point, major point I'm going to, is the function of the law. There's a function. And the function is to make you know your sin, to reveal your sin to you, to revive sin, to bring it out. That's the reason for it. Okay, so let's continue. But the law was designed to last only until the coming of what? Who is the child who was promised?
Jesus.
It was to last until the coming of the child who was promised.
It's
in the Bible. I'm not the one saying it. Next verse. Continue. One to go. God gave his law through angels to Moses, who was the mediator between God and men and the people. Uh-huh. Okay. He's going to talk plenty. Just goes off and then comes back. Go to 20 what? 21. One to go. Is there a conflict then between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. If the law could give us new life, we could be made right with God by obeying it. Next verse. But the scripture declared that we are all prisoners of sin. So we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. Next verse. Before the way of faith in Christ was unveiled, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Who is the way of faith? Jesus Christ. Next verse. One to go. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. Next verse. And now that the way of faith has come. It's not for the righteous man. It's not for the righteous man. The law is not for the righteous man. The reason for it was to guard men until the coming of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus came to Lazarus' tomb, you remember Lazarus is sinned, humanity in sin and in death, stinking, with a stone rolled over it to keep them there. For what purpose? Until Jesus comes. And when Jesus came, what did he do? He rolled the stone away. He removed the law. That's what the Bible says, that Jesus fulfilled the law and abolished it. And when he did, after he had done that, what did he do? He called Lazarus to come out. He brought life out of death. How? By his death. Jesus' death is what liberates sinners. Yeah. That's the grace of God. Yes. So when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you are now, you've come out of death into life. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Ephesians chapter 2. From verse 1 is nice. Let's read from verse 1 so you can see it. NLT. Let's translate, right? Translate. Let's translate it. Can you read it to me? One to go. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Next verse. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is a spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. Verse 3. All of us used to live following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's just like everyone else. Verse 4. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much. What did he do? Because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Next verse. One to go. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Are you born again?
Yes.
You are like Lazarus who has been called out to come forth. Now you are in a place of life. The life of God lives inside you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have become the very abode of God himself. God is pleased to dwell in you and to live in you. That is why Jesus came. Jesus came to take away sin, take away the stone, and remove sin and restore you to glory. Now, Romans 3:23 does not apply to you. For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Now, sin has been removed by Jesus Christ. Oh?
Yes.
When he rolled the stone away, what did he say to Lazarus? Come forth. What does that mean? It means that your sin, come out of sin and death. We just read it.
Yes.
Oh?
Yes.
Jesus came to die for something. He came to die for something called sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Look at 1 Peter 2, 24. Jesus died for... There's a reason why he came to die.
Yes.
There's a reason. This is what... Let's read NLT. Let's make it easy. NLT. Let's translate. Can we read it? One to go. Are you seeing it or you are not seeing it? He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he became the sin of humanity. He took the sin. Ah, oh, you are not seeing it. So why are you still calling yourself a sinner? I'm going back to Accra.
This is Accra.
Hebrews 9:26. Let's read Hebrews 9:26. This is what Jesus came to die for sin.
Thank you for the coming,
Jesus. One, two, go. Read it together. If that had been necessary, Christ would have again and again, ever since the world began. But now, once for all time, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove by his own death as a sacrifice. He died to remove what?
Sin.
Once
and for all. Now that you're believing in him, your sin has been removed. That's why you can come forth. Come boldly into the people of life. 28. I'm trying to reserve these ones for tomorrow. But you are trying to bring it. Okay, one to go. So also Christ died once for all time as a sacrifice to take away sins. Ooh. He will come again not to deal with our sins. Why? Because the first coming was to deal with our sins. The second coming is not to deal with sin. He has removed your sin. Why are you still crying about your sin? Crying about what you have done wrong and whatever. Jesus took away your... You are focused on sin too much. That's why you keep sinning. That's why you keep doing a lot of wrongs. If you focus on the sin, consciousness is worrying you. You have to become righteousness conscious. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. One to go. My little children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if any man does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father.
Hey!
He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. Verse 2. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not for only our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Yes. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Peter 3, 18. 1 Peter 3, 18. One to go. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but was raised to life in the spirit. Have you seen what he came for? He came to remove sin so that he can bring you into life, safely home with God. Come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Come forth into life. Come out of death, spiritual death, physical death, eternal death. Come out of the law. The law cannot hold you down anymore. Come out of it. Now you're a child of God. Say, I'm a child of God. Say, I'm a child of God. Say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Listen, God is happy to dwell in you. Can you imagine that the greatest revelation of the Old Testament and the New Testament, the revelation that everybody was looking forward to, is Christ in you. The fact that God can now live inside you. God does not live in sinners. God lives in people who are righteous. And he has taken it upon himself to make you righteous. Why? How? By taking your place. Jesus took your place of sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Yes, he died on your behalf. Remember, the wages of sin is what? Is death. Blood must be seen. If blood is not seen, you cannot be forgiven. Guess what? Jesus showed his own blood. He took his blood. Yes, he tasted death for you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm coming, brother. It's so nice. Are you not happy about what I'm telling you? Brother, make it easy, brother. Translate it, brother. Let's translate. Can you read it to me? One to go. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ Jesus. He became your sin so that you will become his righteousness. The one who did not sin, he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin, was made sin. He became the very epitome, the very definition of sin. Took sin, took your sin, all your sin, all your punishment. God punished Jesus for your sin. The punishment that you deserved is a punishment that was laid on Jesus Christ. God did not spare even one. He punished Jesus. He says he shall see the travail of his soul and she shall be satisfied. God saw the travail of Jesus' soul. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He was punished fully for your punishment, for your sin, for your problems, for your abortions, for all past, present, future. As far as you are concerned, when Jesus died, you were in the future. Oh? Were you there when he died? You were in the future when he died. His death there covered for your sin today. Before you got born again, up to date, and beyond. He took care of your sin so that you can be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you believe in the fact that he took your sin, he died. Your sin is what killed him. It's your sin that killed Jesus. It is our sin that killed Jesus. It is our challenges that killed Jesus. He was sacrificed because of us. He's your fornication. He was bruised for you. Bruised for you. The chastisement that brings us peace was laid upon him. By his stripes we are healed. He took all of it so that you can walk free as righteous. Romans 3, 23 and 24. NLT. Romans 3, 23 and 24. NLT. Can we read it together? One to go. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. That is why, next verse. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. He did this through Christ when he freed you from your sins. So now you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you believe it now? Yes. So Lazarus, we are all Lazarus. We are now out of the grave. We are now out of the dead to live amongst the living once again. To sit. You see, after that, Lazarus sat with Jesus and ate with Jesus. The purpose of the resurrection, the reason for your sin being forgiven and being removed, is so that you can have intimacy with God. so that you can fellowship with God without any sense of guilt or condemnation.
Yes.
So that you can handle the power of God. So that you can be effective. You can participate in the divine nature. So that you can be more effective. If you listen to what I'm telling you now, you can be very effective. You can be very effective in soul winning. You can be very effective in praying for the sick. You can be very effective in building the church. Because you know that it has been... I'm a particle of the nature of God. Yes. God is pleased to dwell in me. When I stretch my hands, God has stretched his hand. God is in me now. God is in me now. I'm a child of God now. When I'm shepherding, God is shepherding through you. He says, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. You are his seed that God sees after his sacrifice. Therefore, God prolongs his days, the days of Jesus Christ here on earth, through you and through me. So my life here on earth is for the purpose of extending Jesus' life. As I'm walking around, Jesus' life is walking around in me. That's what is happening. As I'm walking around in this place, in Rongai, when I'm praying, he's praying. Yes. It is Jesus' life that is flowing. It is his spirit that is working through me. When I touch the sick, it is Jesus' touch in the sick. You'll be more effective, I tell you. With this mindset, you'll be more effective. You produce more results. Yes, you produce more results. It's for intimacy. That's the reason for intimacy. Yes. They saw Lazarus seated with Jesus, eating with him. Yes. I'll never go down in my life. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for me. Thank you for removing my sin. Thank you for making me righteous. Thank you for making me righteous. Thank you for bringing me out of death. You see, the cross of Jesus Christ. I love the cross of Jesus Christ. Because at that place, at Jesus, on the cross of Jesus Christ, God's love paid ransom to God's justice and God's righteousness. God's justice demanded that man must die because the wages of sin is death. And even Satan was accusing that man must die. Satan said that when I sinned, you judged me. You must judge these guys. They've also sinned. And I was there when they sinned. I tempted them and I made sure they sinned. And they sinned. You cannot say that they didn't sin, so you will not punish them. You were righteous, judge God. When I sinned, you punished me. These people have also sinned. Punish them. Don't be biased. Don't be biased. Kill them. Same standard. What you did to me, you banished me to eternal damnation. Banish them to eternal damnation. But what did God do? God came down. Himself. He came down to come.
That's what it says. Eternal damnation.
Yes, eternal damnation. Took it on himself. He received. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave him for what? He gave him to take the punishment. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 34, "And I, if I be lifted on high, will draw." Is it 34? Yes. It's John 12. Yes, 32. Let's read 30. Into 32. So I'm closing my verse, okay? Our time is at 9:30. We have to go. Jesus answered and said, "The voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." Next verse. Now, listen. He says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." Who is the prince of this world? Satan. Next verse. Now, okay. Then he says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all." It's not all men. The word men there, your Bible is not correct. It's supposed to be in brackets. Who has a Bible here? The Bible you have displayed for us is not correct. Because men is not part of the original translation. It's not part. So they put it in brackets. Any good Bible will put it in italics. It's either italicized. When you see something italicized in the Bible, it means that it was not. You know, they put it there because they felt it helps to translate it. For it to make sense. But, I mean, yours is italicized. Pastor, is yours italicized? 32.
Yes. Yes. Italicized.
That means that man is not part of the translation. So it's supposed to read like this. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all what? All judgment." The verse before, he was talking about judgment. 31. Read. Please put 31 and 32 together. 31 and 32 together. Can you put it together? You can't. You can? Can you put it together? 31 and 32 together so you can read it together. Ah, beautiful. Is it able to put it together? Can you read it together for me? For us to me? One to go. Let's read it together. One to go. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all, not men. Remember, all men is not, men is not there. I'll draw all judgment unto me.
All the judgment
has been drawn to me. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, all the judgment of the world, all the judgment that you deserved, all the judgment that all of us deserve was drawn to him. He took it in. He was punished fully. 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 God gave it. The full anger. He paid the whole debt. The last word of Jesus was, it is finished. Do you know what it is finished means? Fully paid. Tetelestai. Tetelestai means fully, debt fully paid. Jesus fully paid for all the debt we owed. Not a single cent is left. He paid everything. He took all the judgment. Now the prince of this world is cast out. Satan does not have any voice anymore against you. He's cast out. He's cast out. Satan is cast out. He can't come and say, Lord, judge them. The judgment has already happened. How did it happen? It happened in Christ. Jesus took the judgment of sin fully. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Are you a child of God? The devil cannot accuse you anymore. Yeah, he's accusing because you don't know. God has sent me to come and tell you that it's been paid for. Fully paid for. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? No one, including Satan. He's taking it all. Now you can have sweet fellowship with God. You can be in the bathroom and singing songs to the Lord, and it is accepted. Yes. You can be in class and be talking to God. You can be walking on the streets and be talking to God. You can be anywhere and be talking to God. You now have intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. And hence fruitfulness. You can't impregnate anybody by passing your hand around there. Who is not married here? Anybody? Are you married? I don't want to touch anybody's wife, so I come. Are you pregnant?
No.
You are not pregnant. Oh. How about now?
No, I'm not pregnant.
You cannot impregnate a lady by passing your hand around there. If you want to impregnate someone, what do you do? What do you do? You have to go deeper, Papa. You have to go deeper, innit? Yeah. Now,
you have to switch off the lights.
You have to switch off the lights and go deeper. Is it true or is it not true? You are behaving like you don't know what I'm talking about. Look at you. Bad boy like you are quiet. Hey. You have to switch on the blender. Hey! I've not heard this one before. I'm going to switch on the blender when I go home. Wow!
For noise insulation.
For noise insulation. What? I didn't know. I've learned something new in Nairobi. Wow! Without intimacy with God, you cannot be fruitful. You cannot get pregnant in the spirit. You cannot produce anything in the spirit. It's not possible. Intimacy. You need intimacy. And Jesus has made that platform available. Now you can be intimate with God. Now you can dine with God. Now you can be fruitful. Yeah. That's why my life is fruitful. It's because I believe in what Jesus has done. He took my punishment on the cross. It had to be the cross. Tomorrow described, I'll show you why it had to be the cross. It had to be the cross. It had to be hanged so that all the curses would be taken away. Yes, it had to be the cross. It had to be. Curse is everyone that hangs on a tree. So it had to be hung on a tree so that all the curses that are in Nairobi, that your great grandfather, who's the witch doctor, the great great grand witch doctor, that did. And the slave trader and the curses that came with his activities will not affect you. Jesus took all of that upon his head. The crown of thorns is the curse of the ground. When Adam sinned, God cursed the ground. He says, curse is the ground for your sake. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth for you. You work, you don't get much. That's a curse of the ground. Jesus took, they did a crown of thorns and put it on Jesus' head. Jesus carried the curse of the ground for you. On your behalf. So that you will not struggle in life. So that you will not struggle in life. That, you see, these things make you fall in love with Jesus every single day. Look at this Jesus. Look at what he did. Look at what he did. Look at what he did. And he liberates you. And can take you to the end of the world. It brings you boldness. They took notice of the disciples that they had been with Jesus. They saw their boldness. They realized the influence of Jesus in their lives. Yes. The more you fellowship with him, the bolder you become. The stronger you become. The devil, you can cast out devils without thinking twice. The devil says, hey, you did this yesterday. Jesus paid for it. Come on, get up. And you'll get up.
Before you've got it done, my sins.
Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Say, I'm free. To be a servant of Jesus Christ. To have intimacy with God. My life will never be the same again. Can you lift up your voice and thank Jesus for what he has done for you? Thank Jesus for what he has done for you. Jesus, sweet Jesus, how wonderful you are. Do you know that song? You are than the morning star. You don't know it? Do you know any nice song about Jesus? Sorry. Worthy is the Lamb. Let's sing it, sister. Sing it for me. Worthy is that Lamb who was slain. Jesus was slain for you and I.
Seated on the throne.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
We crown you now.
We crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious.
You are high and lifted.
You've been running away from Jesus all this while. Jesus should not come to impute your trespasses upon you. Jesus did not come and impute sin. No. John 3:17 says that, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God wants you to be saved through his son Jesus Christ. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses or their sins unto them, but that the world through him. Yes. So you are here, you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or you are not even sure whether you've accepted him or not. It's just a matter of believing the fact that he died for you on the cross of Calvary and saying it with your mouth, declaring the Lord of your life. I want to help you. I came all the way from Ghana to come and lead you to Christ. You want to give your life to Christ? I want you to come forward right now. Run to Jesus. He's the one who has been given by God to bring salvation to you, to set you on a new path, to bring you out of death into life. This is an opportunity for you. Come to me right now. Come to me right now, and I'll pray for you. Come to me right now. You want to give your life to Christ? Come forward right now. Come forward right now. Come forward right now. Don't look around. Don't look at your brother. Don't look at who is talking to you or who is saying whatever. Come. Salvation is free. Because Jesus paid for it. He's already paid. You want to give your life to Christ? We have time for you. I have another 30 seconds. You can come forward. And I'll pray for you.
The darling of heaven.
You want to have a better revelation of Jesus, this Jesus that you have believed. I want you to lift your hand wherever you are. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for your children. You said through your servant Paul and prayed for your church, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help us live long to see Jesus. Help us see Jesus everywhere in our lives. Reveal your son to us in a wonderful way. Let us understand what he has done on the cross for us. Help us, Lord. Drive us into intimacy with Jesus. Let the fellowship of the son become deeper in our lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hold our hands, Lord. I see the Lord holding your hands and marching you into a new level of relationship and fellowship with the son, Jesus Christ. I see Jesus becoming more real to you. I see him, you understanding him as your great healer and the great healer of mankind. And I see his healing power flowing through you to the lives of many. I see you understanding him as a savior of the world. Jesus, the savior of the world. And I see him bringing salvation to many through your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I see him leading you into prosperity, letting you know that it is his grace that made him become poor, that you might become rich. I see him journeying with you into prosperity in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I see the Lord bringing you into a realm of confidence. I'm seeing some people who have walked prior to this time in fear and in condemnation and in guilt. Jesus is walking you into confidence. You are confident. The Lord is bringing you into confidence and boldness. You are free to request for what you need to request for. I pray for your parents. I pray for healing for your body and healing for anyone who is related to you. I declare healing for them. I command that cancer to go. I command that challenge to leave now in the name of the Lord Jesus. I see someone's legs bound in poverty. Every step you have taken over the years have been a step in poverty. That power that has been holding you back is broken completely. Amen. Come forth now out of poverty into the realm of prosperity. Amen. Prosperity is yours on every side. From henceforth, we walk in prosperity. Supernatural prosperity, supernatural supply is coming for you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I command a new level of intimacy with God. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who witnessed a good confession before Pontius Pilate and gave his life for us, even in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you very much. God bless you for having me.
God bless you for listening. We pray that the Word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the Word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's Word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's Word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless you.